Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We are just hoping to encourage you today, hoping to give you a perspective. Maybe it was the first hour. Maybe it was the second half of the first hour. Maybe it's this, what you're about to hear. We're hoping during our conversation, that's what we're having, just a conversation with you, that can just be a conversation of light. You know, he tells us to go be the light of the world, mm-hmm. to let your light shine in darkness. And there's so many dark conversations that happen in our everyday life now. I mean, dark media, mm-hmm. dark news, you know, dark everything. Mm. But we're supposed to shine our light in the midst of all that, and it brings hope. And that's why it's so important what we're hoping to do for our audience is to bring a light perspective, to be a light perspective to your life.
I was just reading in the Word where, you know, we don't take a light and put it underneath a bed or under a basket. I mean, and I've heard that scripture before. I'm sure we all have. Mm-hmm. We're pretty familiar with it, but I had a chance just to visualize that. So how silly would that look to take a lamp and put it underneath a bed? Just right. Like, what in the world?
You'd have a bigger light.
Yeah.
Unless it was a water bed.
Yeah. Right.
It's like a small, I'm thinking a small miniature lamp, you know?
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you think about it, it's like, that's just so full. It's just out of place. And yet you think, you see so much light. We're supposed to have light. We're not supposed to put it underneath a bed or under a barrel. But we're supposed to be in places where light belongs, in the darkness. There's two places for light, in darkness, and it's not supposed to be together. Light with light is not necessary. You know, right. There's too many of us here. We've got to scatter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's what it's all about. Because let me tell you something. We're living in dark times, in a dark world with dark media, a dark pop culture that just feeds on more dark. And instead of running away from it and being afraid of it, We need to run into it.
And that's why, you know, the Lord has sent us into the world to be light. Mm-hmm. And we can say, you know, we can yell at the darkness all day long.
Hello.
Until we start shining our light, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, you think about it, that we're called to be men and women of faith. We're saved by faith. We move by faith. We walk by faith. Understand the understanding of what faith is such a rarity. Mm. It's such a rarity in today's church. Operating in faith. What we do is we quite often operate in what we know and our knowledge and practicum and logic and wisdom of the world and you know, 1 + 1 = 2. But a miracle is when God causes 1 + 1 to equal all that you will ever need. Mm-hmm. Mm. And you think about faith, things that our faith is believing for, things are conceived in the spirit realm before they're manifested in the natural realm. As children, think about this, as children are conceived in the womb, faith is first conceived, I guess you could say, in our spiritual room, in our heart. Just as much as a baby is a baby in the womb, a natural baby is a natural baby in the womb, so it is on the outside of the womb, the same baby, but you can't necessarily see it. It's only the one who actually has the womb that's carrying this child knows that it exists. Mm-hmm. Unless others, doctors, for example, find a way to take a peek inside the womb, ultrasound, to see if the child's there. But the mother knew the child, or the ones that conceived this child knew that that child was there all along. A child, as a child is conceived and goes through this whole period of incubation in the womb, so faith has a period of being conceived in our spirit, man, and goes through a period of incubation. You think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the King James. He says, the Word of God says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence, or faith is a substance. I mean, think about it, a tangible substance, spiritual substance of things hoped for an evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance in the spiritual realm. Mm. Faith is evidence of things to come, but not yet seen with the natural eye. Hebrews 11:6 lets us know without faith, without this reality of this evidence in the substance, it's impossible to please God. You think about the centurion. The centurion, Jesus tells the centurion when he speaks with his words what he believes in his heart. And he says, all you have to do is say the words. You don't have to even come to my home. And Jesus says, oh, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. It'll be done as you believed that it was. And he's saying, I haven't seen in all of Israel someone that had the greatest amount of the substance which pleased me the most. Mm-hmm. There's a period of incubation. Just like you can't just say, hey, I want a child, and you don't even, it's not conceived, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not, you're not willing to go through the process of all the trimesters and taking care of that child while nobody else can see it, but you have that child inside of you. There are incubation, if you would, incubation periods in your faith. And the very first, and everyone is so important, you can't move on to the second one. There's four phases of it, pretty much, you can describe them. And you can't move into the second phase or the third phase or the fourth phase without actually dealing with the first phase. They build on each other. Mm-hmm. And so many people are trying to move in the fourth area of this incubation period. And it's like, you haven't even conceived anything yet.
Hello.
You know? You haven't even conceived it. And the four simple phases are, you could describe them as this. You know, have an envision what you're wanting, what you're believing God for, a clear-cut objective in your life. You know, what do you want from God? I don't know. Just ask him to, what? And the second is having a burning passion for that which you have a clear-cut vision for. The third is, and we'll talk about this a little bit, is praying for assurance, the timing of God and the blessing of God and the alignment of God in the context of what's going on. And finally, it's speaking that vision, speaking that word out. There's four primary aspects of that. And the first is envisioning. For since faith is being sure and certain, right? Sure of what you hope for, certain of what you don't see, as the NIV says, it is a substance and evidence, as the King James is talking about and describes it. Since many ask and do not receive because they do not ask in alignment with God's word, it's important for us to make sure that what we're conceiving, what we're believing for, what we're envisioning, what we're getting a clear-cut vision, that it's actually in alignment with the word of God. Mm-hmm. It'd be a shame to waste all that energy, all that time, and go through that religious exercise and end up with nothing. He says the reason why people ask and don't get it because they ask amiss. They don't ask in alignment with God. And secondly, it's important to not take a carnal view of this revelation that I'm talking about and think that you can manipulate God with your faith and find it. And you're going to find out that the kingdom of God operates. This is how it operates. It's not a way to manipulate God and to get your way. It's not, you know, God knows your heart. It's a secret, if you would, a secret in the kingdom of God. And so it's important to get a clear-cut vision. You need to understand. I mean, so you're asking, so, you know, if somebody's asking for, believing God for a car, for example, I mean, if you don't even have the transportation, but you don't say, do you want a car? Do you want a bus? Do you want a subway ticket? I mean, what do you want?
Right.
I don't know. Just get me there. Yeah. Well, listen, that's not faith. Mm-mm. Because faith buys into the reality that you have to carry this thing. You have to see it. You have to have a defined reality. And this Jesus said, will the Son of Man even find faith when he returns? You're going to have to do the work, the groundwork. And quite often, because many don't understand this, they don't realize there's groundwork you have to do. You know, this is what a lot of people may say. They say, I'm working on something. And what they're doing is developing a clear-cut vision in their heart. They're trying to see it and understand it and fully have it inside their heart. Conceive it, inside of their spiritual womb, their heart. Mm-hmm. And that's so important, because how in the world are you going to have a burning passion? What is the next aspect of this without, you don't even, burning passion for what? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for subway rides, you know, for bus rides, for, you know, a station wagon, a tricycle, a bicycle, you know, what is it? And understand that it is okay. This is how God's designed you. You're supposed to take your imagination and force it to be in compliance with the will and the word of God. Well, the will and the word of God is for you to move in faith, which means you're going to have to do the groundwork and begin to hack out in the understanding, and sometimes just seeing others walking into what you feel like you're supposed to walk into. If you think you're supposed to be, you know, a businessman or businesswoman, that has a CEO of their own company or something of that nature, you're going to have to hang around somebody, probably the CEO, to get at you a grid.
Yeah.
You know, what does that look like to own your own company? What does it look like to be the chief executive officer? What does it look like? Hey, I want to, you know, I want to have a good marriage. And somebody's, you know, you're going to have to find out, what does that really mean? Do you have a grid for that? Do you hang around people that have a good marriage? Do you know what that, what does God say about, you know, you can believe God for in the context of that? Financial blessing, all these different things. So understanding that ministry, you know, understanding what God has called us to do as believers to go and to minister. And so you have to have, there has to be a blueprint, if you would, for what is going to be built. When you look at blueprints, you know, blueprints are not the house, for example, that's going to be built. But without the blueprints, you can't build the house. Because you're going to have to write down the design of this house, and you're going to have to put it down so specifically that somebody who doesn't even know you yet, who you haven't even hired yet, is going to take your blueprint. And they're going to go and they're going to take those blueprints and they're going to order material and they're going to hire people to build. And they're going to take their ruler and they're going to put it all over that building and the house that's being built based off the blueprints that you drew up.
Come on.
So if you ain't got no blueprints, how is he going to build you something? You're going to have to actually write this down to understand what that is. And so, and this is where a lot of people are like, I don't want to, you know, just whatever. I don't want to do the work. I don't want to do the work. Well, then you can't complain about how life is. You can't complain about what other people are doing when they're trying to do the work.
That's right.
You know, and understand. But if you'll do that, the next phase, once you clearly understand, you got those blueprints, you can flip it. This is the roof design. This is the foundation. This is the footer. This is the walls. This is how many rooms it is. It's sheetrock. It's whatever. You know, marble cabinets. I don't know what it is.
Couple toenails.
Couple toenails. That's a building angle for a nail. And so once you have that down, the next phase is going to be easier for you because you're going to need, you can't move beyond the second phase until you get the second phase. You're going to have a burning passion. People say, well, you need to move quicker. Don't you understand? It's like, well, no, if you don't have the burning passion yet for what you believe in God for in this clear-cut vision, don't move beyond that because the next phase is you're going to have to pray for assurance. But how are you going to talk to God in confidence and surety about something you don't even have a passion for?
That's right.
It must not be God because I don't have a passion for it. No, it could be because you're under attack. It could be you have to fight for it. You have to begin to pray for it until God begins to stir your heart till you just so desperately want this thing to manifest what you have inside of your heart. You just can't stop until it manifests what's inside of you, this baby's birth.
That's right.
And then once you get to getting a burning passion is, this is so important because faith believes strongly. And that it's so strong that it's like you're already operating in that which you're believing for. You're already beginning to make time for it and to plan around it and to invest in it and to make room for it. And you're thanking God for it. And this requires a burning passion for that which you're having faith for. It's important to soak in a season of prayer and meditation on Scripture, abiding with God until you have that burning passion. And it has to be released to you. You know, quite often it's difficult because how do you get a burning passion over a greedy vision? You know what I'm saying? But when you lay down your life for God and begin to believe God for what His will is on this earth, is that really hard to do? Because the creator of the universe is in alignment. You're in alignment with God.
Right.
That's a faith builder in itself. And once you get this burning passion, you can see, for example, the example I gave with the blueprints in the house, it's still just blueprints. It's in your heart. No house is built yet. But in the burning passion, it's like, you know, you're starting to see stuff where things are going to go in your house, or you're seeing how this ministry is going to work, or you're seeing how this business is going to work, and you just kind of see it. Mm-hmm. And some people say when things manifest in the natural sense, people say, well, how can you just move so quickly? It's like, I've been moving in this thing about 10 years ago.
All right.
I've been doing some work, you know. And then after you got this burning passion, and this is where another thing happens where people begin to move without a blessing, without assurance. Mm-hmm. Because you have a time where it could be right, but it could be the wrong timing. But now that you're actually understanding clearly what you're asking God for, which is you're not doing a half ask. You know, like half-hearted asking God of things because you have a burning passion for it. Your time of prayer is meaningful. It makes sense. You're articulating it. God can see your faith. that you're ready for it. It's time to be released. But, you know, you have to understand this, that the timing might not be right. Just because you can see it clearly, just because you have a burning passion for it, doesn't mean you need to run off, you know, like a maverick and mm-hmm. begin to try to make something happen, because now you left God in the whole context of what's going on right here. You're going to need to pray for assurance from God. But understand this, that some people say, hey, you should just pray once and just walk out. Well, no, what Jesus said, on the contrary, he said you should pray and keep asking until you receive. The lady who wanted justice continued to pray, and she continued to ask. Why? You continue to ask and pray until it's conceived inside of you, till you feel that release inside of you, because you're going to have to. It's going to have to manifest in your heart fully, where the timings of God is right for you to begin to get that blessing from God. And how you know you got assurance is all of a sudden there's peace. You already had the clarity. You already had the burning passion, which was a dangerous time for you, because you could have ran out and you could have launched that business too soon. You could have done something too soon. But you got on your knees and you just meditated, and proverbially on your knees. Maybe you did get on your knees. And you just paused and you sought the Lord for getting that timing and that assurance. Then all of a sudden that peace just settles in. I can clearly see it. I got the passion for it. Now I got the permission for it. Mm-hmm. And now you have the release to be able to do the fourth phase, what we're talking about. And the fourth phase we want to talk about, if you missed the others, you need to catch it, but is you've already done the groundwork into getting a clear vision. You've already begun to seek for the burning passion. Then you pray for assurance, the timing, the blessing, the permission of God. Mm-hmm. But now you have that. It's time for you to begin to do something very, very important. You're going to have to begin to speak the vision. Begin to speak it. Well, you know, you think about how important speaking is and saying is Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24. Jesus says, have faith in God. I mean, think about that. Have faith in God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because he's talking about the fig tree. You know, they passed the fig tree. The fig tree was fruitless. He cursed the fig tree. They come back the next day. The fig tree was all withered up, even down to the roots. And they say, wow. And he says, listen, have faith in God.
That's right.
What does that mean? That means he wants us to do what I'm talking about. He wants us to live in this realm of trusting in him and believing in him and being a creator as he's a creator, and begin to speak things into existence. Then he says, I tell you the truth. And so this is the truth. He's talking about the truth about faith, about how things work. He says, I tell you the truth. If anyone, and anyone includes you, me, and everyone that's listening, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Well, you can see if you haven't done the groundwork, you're going to be just mowed over. Mm-hmm. You're going to be totally mowed over if you haven't went through these processes that I'm talking about here. Because the enemy's going to try to come in and sow doubt right away. But listen, if you got clarity and you've got a passion and you got permission and you have the timing and the peace of God, mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be hard to mow you over.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to be hard to mow you over, and the enemy will try. And this is what Jesus is telling us. And then he says, therefore, I tell you, whatever, which means, listen, whatever your vision is, what you're believing God for, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Hmm. I mean, he's talking from fig trees to mountains to whatever, and to whoever. You think about it. Now that you've done the work of faith, you have the clear-cut vision, you have the burning passion, you have the assuring peace and the permission of God, it's time to begin to speak things out. I'm telling you, it's not a difficult thing to do at this point if you followed what I'm talking about in the context of these phases of doing the groundwork for your faith. But it is required. If you don't speak it out, it's not going to happen. Mm. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And the word spoken from someone who has done this work are a powerful substance. Because when they're loosed out in faith, it releases the angels of God, the spiritual realm of God, to begin to take those words and begin to build on the outside what was already built in your heart on the inside. Mm-hmm. It takes the blueprint that's in your heart and begins to build that thing and establish it.
Wow.
These words that you're speaking are building materials in the natural realm. It is the conduit between what is in your womb of your spirit and what's going to be made manifest in the eyes of men. Isn't it interesting how someone who is able to speak well ends up having many followers, whether they're good or whether they're evil? It was the speeches of Hitler that led a people into captivity, Jews into the ovens, in the concentration camps, and the world into war.
Mm.
One man's speeches
that
he clearly wrote out. He even wrote his own Bible. I mean, he clearly had a vision for what he was, an evil vision.
Yeah.
But yet, it was the words of God from the mouth of his son, Jesus Christ, on the Sermon on the Mount that shapes our life. And we live our life by words that were spoken out. This is how it should be. And it's our words that we live by. It's his words, the words of the preceding words of God that come out of the mouth of God that we live by. The thing is, it's like, what words are coming out of our mouths? All of America leans forward every 4 years listening to the speeches of those who desire to be the president of the United States. And the one or more speeches, often with one or more speeches, often a majority of our nation favors.
Mm.
The nation's favor is turned towards one candidate and they select him. What? It's based off of speech. It's what they're saying.
Wow.
For years, I would say to myself, no, not just the speech, not just words. There needs to be something behind it, you know? But every single year, all the years, you go, oh, that's the reality. That's how things work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because that's how we're designed that way. We're designed that way. What is important to remember, it's important to remember that we can create good or evil. Because we've been created in the likeness, the image and the likeness of the Creator himself. But remember, also in the end, we'll be judged accordingly. Therefore, if one man's speech can turn a nation, what can your speech turn? If you have a clear-cut vision, a burning passion, and permission and peace from God, if you begin to speak out what God has formulated, you and God together have formulated on your heart, what are you building for God? Are you like the centurion who had the greatest measure of the substance which pleased God the most? Do you speak the word of faith? Did you know the promise comes by faith? Everything comes by faith. That we serve a God who calls things that are not as though they were. Why? Because that's how we're called to be. We begin to speak those things that are in our heart out. And they begin to happen. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, if you say, if you speak, we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us to begin to have faith. He says, have faith in God. The thing about it is we've stepped outside the will and the word and the ways of God, and so everything is amiss. But if we'll move back in and move out of this 82 percentile, not even reading his expectations, his word, and get back into the word of God, begin to abide with God, and begin to let God, allow God's word to shape us and to mold us. Listen, there comes a point in time in life, all you have left is your faith.
Mm.
But your faith will bring you to everything else, including eternal life. Listen, we're called to be men and women of faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Understand, quit living so much on what you see. Quit banking everything on what you see, all your senses. Begin to see different things in your heart. Begin to get clear-cut vision, godly vision, for what's going to happen in your business, in your family, in your ministry, in your state, in your nation, in the world. I have a vision for a third grade awakening.
Mm. Yeah.
It could transform a nation. I can see a church alive and hearing from God and children hearing the voice of the Lord and all believers who claim the name of the Lord, laying hands on the sick and they're recovering, ministering in the name of God. I can see it. The praise coming out, new sounds coming out, and the ground giving up it's harvest and the blessing of God once again on our nation. What are you seeing?
You know, it's so powerful because when we begin to line up together and start sharing what God is doing in our heart, what we're praying, what we're believing for, we'll begin to see these things happen. That's how the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And that's why it's so important that we walk together in unity, we walk together in faith, because when you release words that are contrary to what someone is believing, when you have words that are spoken out in a negative format, they begin to speak like a doubt over a cloud, and it'll start to erode that faithful stand. That's one of the things that you must be careful about, because if doubt comes in, it destroys the very thing. You went through all of the phases just by one word that was being released.
And you know, see how important it is to go through each of those phases so that when the attack comes,
that's right,
then you can stand.
Because it will come.
It will come. But if you didn't do that work, and it's easy to sow doubt into confusion already.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're panicking, somebody's going to ask you to explain it. You know, you're in trouble already.
That's right. That's right.
But with that, too, understand the power of vision. You're right. The power of vision, that's what God has called us to do. He says, listen, when you think about Habakkuk, when he says, you know, I positioned myself to hear from God.
Mm.
And this is what he said. He said, write it down. Write down the revelation. Write down the vision.
Mm.
You know, make it plain. Write it on tablets. Write it on paper. You know, write it down where other people can understand it and run with it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come to pass.
Right.
And understanding that once God reveals, once you have that revelation, it's about writing it down and making it clear, which means you got to do some work. But it pays off because you're able to be strong and confident. And you need confidence. And confidence will come when you actually can clearly understand what and why and how you're doing what you're believing God for.
That's right.
Right? I like what Dr. Cho has his book, The Fourth Dimension. He talks about how he was believing God for a chair with wheels on it.
A chair with wheels.
Because he wanted to be really important.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was believing God for an American bicycle because they lasted longer.
Yeah.
Stronger.
Right.
And he was believing God for...
It was a big fancy desk. A mahogany desk.
Mahogany desk.
He was very detailed.
I mean, he already jumped the gun with that. With
a
bicycle to a mahogany desk.
Well, this is back in Korea, early, way back in the day.
That's huge.
And, but with that, it was very specific. And when you talk about describing things, it's gonna require you to begin to do the groundwork to get a grip. And that's why God's called you to walk in agreement with someone, maybe a business owner, maybe an apostle, maybe a pastor. Understand, you need to find out where they're going and what they're doing and how they're doing it and what their vision is. And if it's a business owner, you know, that really is going somewhere, they're going to know their vision.
That's right.
And you want to know, first of all, to see if you can walk in agreement with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's some companies out there, you know, their vision is to be irreverent.
Mm. That's right.
And that's actually their vision. It's like, okay, not that company.
Exactly.
And, it's just a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. I just want to challenge you to get with those that you're walking with and find out the direction of your leaders and say, you know, God, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be able to walk in agreement and be a part of bringing to pass what's already been birthed on the inside of that leader. I want to see what they're saying manifested, and I know this contingent upon me walking in agreement with what you've already done inside of them.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.